The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
In doing this Buddhist path, doing meditation practice, it's certainly helpful to relax, to calm the places that are overactivated, to relax the places that are overly tense, to bring tranquility to the ways in which we're anxious or agitated. And sometimes then the emphasis is on the relaxation, on the calming. But one of the things that's, I think, very important to develop on this path of practice is a skill, is a heightened sensitivity to the tension, to the agitation, to the ways in which we get tense. And the reason for that is that we want to become skilled at it. We want to be able to recognize it well and clearly so that it becomes something we pick up early as it begins, or so that we become more aware of the more subtle ways in which we get caught and cling. If we're only focusing on the relaxation and the calm, we might not become experts at perceiving tension. And now all the tensions we feel, tension in the body, not all, maybe I shouldn't say all, but most of it, probably represents some way that the mind is clinging to something. It's fixated on something. It's pushing on something in the mind. And much of the physical tension that we have represents something deeper in the mind. And the surface tensions of the mind that we might feel when we're really, you know, anxious or upset or tense around something also represents probably something deeper in the mind, some deeper place of holding, of clinging, of attachment. And so even though we're maybe talking about physical relaxation, what we're relaxing is something that has its source in the mind, deep in the mind, the clinging in the mind. And so the idea is to start becoming more sensitive to clinging, to tension. And that has many benefits. One is that it can help us go further and further and deeper into practice because we've gotten used to, we've gotten familiar with all little ways that clinging appears in our body and mind and heart. But also, we can. It's also a protection for ourselves. It protects our practice because it's very easy to practice with tension, practice with attachment, and we don't see it. So, I mean, paradoxically, a person could get the instructions, just relax your tension. And they get so serious about the relaxing, and they tense up around, I have to really do it well here. The teacher says to relax, and by golly, I'm going to relax. I'm going to be the best relaxer anywhere. And then we relax, certainly we relax part of the body, but the mind has gotten tense in the effort to push. Any instruction people get in practice, we can get attached to the instruction. Any idea of what might happen in practice, we get attached to wanting that to happen or attached to somehow clinging, kind of a negative clinging to, oh, that's not happening to me, it's not possible for me, that doesn't relate to me, or that's not right. So there can be this tension, this holding onto that in a way that limits our freedom. And so if we start becoming skilled at recognizing tension, then we recognize the very tension that's involved in how we practice, what we're looking for, wanting to have happen in practice. And so it becomes a protection that we're not ahead of ourselves in practice, that we're not trying to make something happen or expect something to happen that's not actually what is happening. the default is always to come back to what is happening. And in doing that, again, we recognize maybe how we're tense. Recognize the pushing, the striving, the contraction that might be there. And then as we let go of that, then there's an influence that has on us. And part of this recognizing tension deeper and deeper is that we can recognize what is not tension. We can recognize the impact that has on us to let go, to soften, to relax. And we can recognize that there's more happening here than the tension. I've certainly had the experience of being overly concerned with my tension in my body and mind, that overly concerned with something I was supposed to do, like focus on the breathing, that I didn't notice that in the wider picture of what's going on, there was in fact some settledness, some calmness, some peacefulness, some very subtle kind of delight in just being here. And I was so fixated and concerned with my preoccupation. And so this idea of relaxing and opening the attention to feel the influence of relaxation, the influence of tranquility, allows us to feel some of the other goodness that's here, some of the other things that are actually going well for us. And this is because as this anapanasati deepens, we want to broaden the attention to take in the bigger picture as well of what's happening. So the joy and the happiness of practice, the contentment, belongs to this kind of a little bit bigger picture. And it might be subtle, nothing dramatic, and we might then get fixated, get attached to having joy, attached to having happiness, or disappointed that we don't have it. And that's tension. And if we are skilled at looking at tension, we'll catch it right away so it doesn't trip us up. Oh, there's tension. Maybe rather than looking for joy, I should really spend time feeling that tension so it can relax, it can soften. Or let me not be limited by the tension. Let me kind of open up the attention wider, not in a fixated way, but in an open, relaxed way. And so then as we open, if we do feel some of the goodness of the relaxation, some of the goodness of the practice that's occurring, I think of it as the atmosphere, the mood of a room, or the atmosphere of a situation we're in. I've gone into some places and the atmosphere is clearly peaceful, and I feel like I'm being washed in peacefulness. I go into other atmospheres, of social atmospheres, and it just immediately feels very tense, the whole thing. So the kind of the atmosphere within us, and take in the atmosphere of the goodness, even if it's subtle, and breathe with that. Not to deny other things, not to lose our ability to notice when we get tense or tight or contracted or resistant or all the different expressions of clinging, but as a way of creating a nice atmosphere that supports the further letting go of clinging, that gives us confidence, that gives us some sense of the rightness of the moment, as opposed to it's so easy to focus on the wrongness of the moment. Some people are really experts at this. And this is not to make a Pollyannish view, everything is good, but it's to create an atmosphere that allows us to hold and be with the difficulties in a way that we don't get fixated or cling to them or resist them too tightly. So all this is a way of saying that part of what we were doing in this practice is becoming an expert on tension. And so even though if the emphasis might be on relaxing, don't become tense because you're trying to relax or because you can't relax. Keep remembering that recognizing and learning to feel, sense, and become more of a connoisseur, all the different flavors and textures of tension, of clinging, of holding, of attachment, is actually a very important part of the practice. And so you want to take some time to feel it and get to know it, and not to be in a hurry to relax, or not in a hurry to get rid of anything that's uncomfortable. Because the lesson of what you learn by really feeling it fully is you learn how to be prepared better for next time, how to catch it earlier, how to protect yourself from being caught in it next time. So part of this Buddhist path is to become skilled in tension. Not skilled in tensing, because we don't want to learn better how to tense, but skilled in recognizing tension and seeing it when it's there, seeing it sometimes almost when it's beginning. And the last thing I'll say about this is that importance of not confusing tension with intentness. Sometimes there's an intentness that has a certain energy and engagement that and wholeheartedness that doesn't have the quality of limitation or debilitation that tension or clinging has, but it's really present. There can be intentness of the body, intentness of the mind. I'm here. This is what I'm doing. I'm involved in this. But there's no tension. There's maybe a tautness, but no contraction or tentness. And so, because sometimes people, when they hear relax, relax their intentness. They relax their healthy tautness, and they move towards becoming just a slouch, just kind of move towards becoming just a, too limp to really let the vitality of practice operate. So, certainly relaxing, calming, becoming tranquil, peaceful is a support for this practice, but don't overlook the important work of becoming skilled at recognizing tension and maybe take some delight and satisfaction as you become more and more connoisseur of all the different ways that you're tense. And rather than being disappointed when you see it, you say, oh, fantastic, I get to study this and get to know it better. It's not so pleasant right now to the tension in and of itself, but in the long term, I'm much better off to really become the student of tension before I focus too much on relaxing. So, thank you. And tomorrow morning as well, we'll have this 6:45 sitting and a little talk at 7:30. And tomorrow, Diana Clark will lead it. She's my co-teacher for this retreat I'm teaching this week, and I'll take that early morning off, and she'll come and offer something for this sitting, and then we'll continue with this Anapanasati, with step 9, moving forward now on Monday. Thank you.